Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
The news from Kyiv this morning, President Zelensky is saying his plan to win his country's fight against Russia's invasion could bring peace next year, but it contains a step that some crucial Western allies have so far refused to countenance, inviting Ukraine to join NATO before the war ends. What are the chances of that? Let's ask Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, that's a big topic there, isn't it?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And it's a big topic, but I think it's a, you know, and people still push for this, but I think it's pretty clear, at least as things stand now in Washington, that there is no interest in Ukraine joining NATO. And as we've mentioned before, you know, there really never was. I mean, Ukrainians were hoping for this after the revolution of 2014 when the people made that decisive change away from, sort of a Russian sort of style of politics. And even they had an intervening election, which, by the way, that the election when President Zelensky was elected in 2019, that was one of the most heavily monitored elections in the world. And so it was a very clean election. And that was really the choice of the people. And as they were trying to move more in this direction, you know, not to be a former Soviet satellite, but to be an independent, flourishing democracy. And part of the, you know, what people were saying, well, part of this means we need to be in NATO. Because Ukrainians knew the threat of Russia, having had centuries of oppression. And as we see now, the Finns and the Swedes are in NATO, two nations that had wanted to be neutral. Sweden had been neutral since the late 1700s, early 1800s, and they gave it up because they were afraid of being invaded. And so, there was no interest really at all from Washington, and even now there's not. And there is a small group of people, including the president of Czech Republic, who they have kind of a creative proposal that part of Ukraine could be in NATO. Parts of Ukraine that are not occupied by Russia would be protected by NATO. And there's a bit of a precedent for it because, you know, Germany was divided during the Cold War and West Germany was in NATO. And obviously the East wasn't. But that still is a very marginal discussion. And I think as we look, Politico reported today, talking to some anonymous officials in Washington, that the United States can take the risk of intercept. This is a quote from an anonymous official in America. The United States can take the risk of intercepting Iranian missiles without provoking a direct war with Tehran. So this is in the case of Israel, because Tehran is not a nuclear threat. But they're saying, you know, they don't want to take that risk with Russia. And so it does seem that the nuclear fear is holding, you know, is holding Washington back and encouraging Washington to hold Ukraine back. But as we look at that, there's another dimension that does not get talked about much. I've been talking a lot recently with people paying attention to the sanctions that the West has imposed on Russia since 2022. And, you know, there's a lot of creative loopholes. And, for example, the Czech Republic has been one of the strongest defenders of Ukraine, you know, given their limited resources as a smaller country. The president of Czech Republic was a former top NATO general. And he, in fact, he's the one that does, you know, is pushing to get Ukraine in NATO. And the Czech Republic has given about $1.3 billion in military aid to Ukraine since 2022. But during that time, since 2022, the Czech Republic has also sent more than $7 billion to Russia in the form of purchases of fossil fuels. So they've given aid to Ukraine, but they're still reliant upon Russian energy and still sending money, more money to Russia in the end than they send to Ukraine. Hmm. And so this is, even beyond the nuclear question, you know, if you're really serious about helping Ukraine and stopping Russia, why not stop funding Russia by paying for oil? The little nation of Lithuania, which also suffered under, you know, the Soviet times, they are making more strides probably than any other European country to get, you know, to not be reliant on Russian oil. And in fact, I think Lithuania, even though they are in NATO, they are feeling the threat. In the past week, they've been putting what you call these dragon teeth, which you see all over Ukraine, on the bridges that connect Lithuania to Russia's little exclave in Europe called Kaliningrad. They've had this territory about 400 miles from Russia, that's controlled by Russia, bordered by Poland and Lithuania in the Baltic Sea. And the Lithuanians in the past week, even though they're in NATO, they are putting defense mechanisms on the bridges and even contemplating destroying some of these bridges. So suggesting that maybe even being in NATO might not be the greatest protection.
Interesting. I haven't heard that. Here's a question one of our listeners texted us. Bob, please ask Joe, did Ukraine build up their military over the past 10 years on their own? Just wondering if they have their own supplies that they use, or are they reliant on other countries?
Well, you know, in 2014, when the people, it was a revolution of the people. And really, I mean, there was when the government fled to Russia in 2014, there was no police for about a month throughout Ukraine. It was only the citizens running the country. Really pretty remarkable. And also the military was in tatters. Most of it had been sort of controlled by, you know, so people from Soviet times. And so, and that's when Russia first invaded. They took Crimea and they tried to take other cities because Ukraine didn't have that infrastructure. And quickly, Ukrainians began to build up a military, but they had to start kind of fresh there in 2014. They did have a lot of support eventually over those years from NATO countries, including the United States, in starting to train and build the military. But as I know, I mean, their Navy, they didn't take it seriously. You know, and this is a question that, there was a lot of criticism from people in Western Ukraine of President Zelensky before 2022, that he and his team were not taking seriously the threat from Russia. So surely there's a lot of criticism that can be had there. But now, I mean, you know, this Ukrainian military is certainly the most experienced fighting machine in the free world after these 2.5 years.
Yeah, I would say so. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Thank you very much, Joe.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.